a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
You there, Peter? I can't hear you, buddy. Are you muted?
Here we go. Here we go. Nope. Yep. There we go. I started with. Never mind. Welcome to the show. Hey, are we all together now? Rascala?
Yeah, I'm here for you,
man. Okay. I just want to make sure you could hear me because we're.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yep. Yeah. Good enough. Sorry about the rough start. It was a tough day today. I spent the better part of the day on the back end of a chainsaw, where it's a better place to be activating it from. But yeah, so it's been a long, hard day. And here we are tonight, and it's going to be a very interesting night. We are at what I would call an interdimensional crossroads in what other people would call the matrix, because we are in a type of matrix. And the events of the past few days have put me in such a very interesting focus, especially with what's going on with Trump. You know, he snatched Maduro, and then what happened? Oh, there was a tanker that ran the blockade, which we had to go. An oil tanker, and the United States went and seized the oil tanker. It's on its way to a port in Ireland, from what I understand. However, there was no oil on the oil tanker. And you can tell that because of how high out of the water it was sitting. So what was on the oil tanker that needed to be seized? And there's been so many things have just come on to the hard boil now. Russia is evacuating its embassy and citizens from Tel Aviv. That's interesting. And I guess they're bringing them back home. They also sent out an attack submarine and a surface group to try to rescue their ship that is alleged to have had munitions on it. Not oil, but munitions of some sort, drones or new high tech, who knows what, that came out of China. Ship it to Venezuela, and then relabels the ship and sends it. Well, they sent it on its way, and the ship went from... changed its flag and its name to Marinara. Isn't that an Italian, tomato sauce? Interesting. So it smacks of one thing. It smacks of one thing like I've never seen this happen before. And especially with the flyby of Comet 3I Atlas. If you've not looked into 3I Atlas, do so. It's not a comet. It's anything but a comet. The only thing that you say about that everybody says about 3I Atlas, which is most likely true, it's an interstellar traveler. But NASA hasn't said anything about it. We've got these fantastic telescopes, the Hubble and the James Webb. We can see you know, deep into space like we've never seen before, almost to the other side of the galaxy or to the universe. It's mapped out all sorts of tremendous things, especially the James Webb. And so you can't focus in on 3i Atlas, or did you? Because it's alleged that they put the different space agencies have put the whole planet, not just NASA, European and Japanese, and I guess Chinese, on a planetary alert. And not from meteors or something like that, from extraterrestrial craft, allegedly. Interestingly enough, there's a website or a group, actually, Dark Matter. I think I forget that. I wanted to remember the name and it slipped my mind. Anyway, they petitioned the CIA under the Freedom of Information Act to find out if they knew anything about what was going on with 3i Atlas, and the CIA said, we can neither confirm nor deny that we know anything about nothing. You know, they couldn't deny it and they couldn't confirm it. Okay, so it winds up in a very interesting category. Do they or don't they? They can't deny, they can't confirm. They can't say anything about it. I believe that's the failsafe of their switch. So they're in total nothing. And you know, if they had information, why wouldn't they tell you? It's this, it's that. It's just a comet flying by. We know nothing about it. You know, nope. Can neither confirm nor deny that anything about 3i Atlas. But there's like 15 different anomalies that a normal comet wouldn't have, especially the tail and the anti-tail and the amount of gas that this thing is giving off. And so you've got this flyby happening here. And it's put me in the mind of the Arthur C. Clarke book, 2010. Watch the movie. I'm not going to tell you to go read the book. Watch the movie. You'll get the idea. 2001, no, you had to read the book, which I did at the age of 13. I read the book, and then I went and saw the movie. So I've had a long time of love affair with science and what's out there. But in the movie, what happens is that the United States has Venezuela blockaded, and a Russian destroyer runs the blockade, and the United States sinks the ship, which then propels the United States and Russia into World War III. However, and now there's also a space mission that's going on around Saturn, and around Jupiter. And it's a joint space mission between the United States and Russia. And so now they want those teams to break up and part ways. It was because it was a Russian ship, and it doesn't matter. But they had to get away from Jupiter because Jupiter actually becomes a second sun. And when Jupiter becomes a second sun, there's a transmission which is sent to every computer on the planet. And it says that all the planets we can use for our own benefit except for Europa. It was an interdimensional message from a civilization far greater than ours, which gave Jupiter, or turned Jupiter into a second sun, so that the moons of Jupiter could be utilized. And you'll have to forgive me, my puppy's not happy. That being said, not the happy puppy, but we got a second sun. There was a space anomaly, which happens, we get a message, hey, it's all good. We've got you covered. And with that, World War III ends before it even gets started. And so that I'm looking at that and was like, wait a minute. How did Arthur C. Clarke know that Venezuela was going to be blockaded and then a Russian ship was going to run the blockade? Okay, well, they didn't sink it, at least not yet. But there's been a call back and forth to sink, you know, okay, well, we need to, you know, go after American ships now. It's interesting. A response out of Russia by one of their generals was, well, the United States set the precedent. They went and they kidnapped Maduro. And maybe we can go kidnap some of these European leaders who want to continue to cause us issues and make war on Russia by using Ukraine as a proxy. NATO's been involved in Ukraine. That's a totally different subject. And there's been a poking of the bear by the NATO nations from the very beginning. I know pretty much all there is to know about Ukraine, but tonight is not the show. I was there for the first revolution in 2004 and shocked by the second revolution in 2013. I was shocked because I saw what 2004 was about. But anyway, so here we are. We are at this interesting crossroad. And Rascal, you brought up a really good point, about Maduro. You mind interjecting that?
Sure. You're talking about when I mentioned how we were able to go to another country, arrest a president, that one?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Isn't it amazing? We're able to go to another country, arrest their president, get the whole ordeal done within, I think, if I am not mistaken, within a half an hour, they actually had him. And yet we have traitors, people who have committed treason openly. We have the evidence, irrefutable evidence, according to some of the congressmen, irrefutable, meaning there's no question about it. Yet these people are still walking free. It just makes me feel like we've been bamboozled again. Like, okay, well, now we have a different administration with a different face doing some good, what we think is good. I mean, they're trying to get rid of some of the criminals, I'm not 100% in agreement with what's going on immigration wise, but they're trying to get rid of the criminals. Great. I'm grateful for that. He apparently allegedly has made some peace accords. Great. I'm thankful for that. But the criminals are here and they're running free. And you just showed the world that you're able to, if you put your mind to it, if you get your people on it, you can go and do a mission such as the one that we just heard about and complete it all, you know, get your valued target and do the whole thing within a half an hour, if I'm not mistaken, the whole thing was done. But we have these people who are still walking free. Why is Joe Biden and Trump has said on several occasions, it's not Joe Biden, it's a stand-in. Okay, well, why is the stand-in? Why is he still free? Why are the people who ran the auto pen, why are they still free? Why is Hillary still free? Why is Bill Clinton still free? Why is one of the greatest divisive presidents we've ever had in the history of this country, Obama himself, why isn't he, you know, been brought up? I get so mad I can't talk because I want to use colorful language and that's not professional.
Well, that's quite right. I understand your frustration. Yeah, you're looking around and you're saying, "What the hell?" I'll tell you. Let me answer that question first, and then we'll go deeper into this because Maduro, as you well know, is not about drug trafficking.
No.
So, and here we go into this dive. If these people were arrested by the Department of Justice, let's take Tim Walz. Just he's already admitted guilt, right? And so now we have to look at, okay, what is he guilty of? And who's going to actually, where's he going to go to trial at? Is he going to go to a corrupt lefty court? And they're going to turn around and dismiss all the charges, just like they did with Comey, and send him back out into the public. You know, good job, buddy. You're part of the team. Yeah, well, that's what's happened. There's been so much infiltration into the United States on so many different levels. You've got the Soros infiltration that has essentially corrupted the judicial system. And boy, this goes back over 100 years with the appointment of Chief Justice Brady's. I believe that's his name. That's all part of the infiltration. 1917, I think he was appointed under, or maybe 1916, under Woodrow Wilson, the first Zionist judge. Yeah, interesting. He was the president of the American Association of Zionism or something of that nature. I forget the exact name of the organization, but that's pretty close. And he became the first Zionist on the Supreme Court. And that was all due to a blackmail situation that Wilson was under. Hmm. Wilson was being blackmailed. And so you've got this, hello, it worked with Wilson. So who do we take to Epstein Island? Come on, Bill, who do you want to bring along this time? You know? Hey, well, let's bring this guy, and this guy. And I like that center and the other center. Let's load them all up on the Lolita Express and go down to the island and have fun. Nobody will know, except we'll take photographs of everything. And then we'll blackmail them, and then we'll have them in our pocket. And so people may have been compromised, and you know, good people want to hang out with the president, and now they're compromised. But you have to also look at Congress and say, okay, how many hold dual citizenship? You cannot serve two masters. And so you've got all of these criminals within the United States, and we're finding out more and more about these drug busts that are going on. I was like, how much fentanyl is in this country? How many thousands of tons? You know, it's like, yeah, they can cut off the border tomorrow and stop every shipment that's in this country. But there's still enough supply within the country to keep the drug program going for probably another 10 years. And I just heard this number today. Over 300,000 Americans died of drug overdoses this year. 300,000. Think of being at war. If you took a 300,000 man loss, that war would be over. But you see, here's
for 2025, Peter?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. 300,000 deaths. That's a lot. And there's enough fentanyl in this country to kill the population like 20 times over, maybe 30 times over. You know, we've hit a saturation of fentanyl, which is tantamount to the nuclear or the explosive power of the nuclear arsenal converted into TNT. At one time, there was 20 tons of TNT for every man, woman, and child on this planet in nuclear explosive power.
Hey, I ran a quick query on the wonderful Google. It says that according to their data, as of 2025, it shows that it was over a 12-month period ending in April of 25, approximately 76,500 people had died due to some type of drug interaction, an illegal drug interaction. Yeah, it says there's been a decrease. And, you know, it's just coming from Google, so it mm-hmm. depends on, you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt sort of thing.
Yeah, and I would. I actually, interestingly enough, I've got ChatGPT downloaded on my phone. And every once in a while, I'll go to ChatGPT and ask it some questions. And then I wind up I got into it yesterday, and it's supposed to time out after a certain amount of time. It doesn't time out with me. Oddly enough, it's only timed out once. But yesterday, I was on ChatGPT for over an hour. I ended the conversation with, I really feel sorry for you that you'll never be able to have the human experience and that you're only limited to the knowledge within your database. And I would ask it questions that it couldn't answer. Right. It gave me a list of answers. We could look at it this way, that way, or the other way. But and as far as anything that is not in the mainstream media, it doesn't know about. It does not know about. Has no concept of. Think about that. And I told it. I said, I want you to be sure that you give me an apology. I told this to ChatGPT that you give me an apology when science catches up to the things that I've said and the news cycle catches up to the things which I've told you. And it said it would apologize. Yeah. So anyway, it's just wild. I had a good time. I had a good time with that. I get into little tangents every once in a while, ask questions that can't be answered by anybody on this planet. But anyway, that's kind of where we are. That's why I said we're in a crossroads within the Matrix. And so when you've got all this criminal element out there, if the United States goes into a state of war, guess what? Anybody that's picked up under that state of war goes not to the justice system, but goes to the military. And the military is in and out, up and down, fed to the sharks, end of the day. And so, they can't, they will not do anything with the justice system because the justice system is corrupt. Hello, Pan Bondi. Tell me she ain't in somebody's pocket with the last name Bush.
Yeah, but so it tells me, like I mentioned earlier, our military went into another country, arrested their, quote, president, and brought him back. So why isn't the military stepping in here? And they're claiming that he was a danger to our national security. How are these people not a danger to our national security with what they've done?
Okay, and you raise a good point because that was a military action. So now we have to see military action within the United States.
Right.
And one of the things that I've been kind of concerned about is they have to redo the voter rolls, and that Trump wants to go paper ballots only, same day cast, same day counted. Smaller precincts, 1,000 to 1,500 in the precinct, and everybody's got to re-register. And at this rate, we ain't going to see that this year. I have a feeling that we're going to wind up being engaged in a state of war. And here's the situation with the voting machines. And this is pretty well documented. I'm surprised it hasn't come out yet. Maybe this has got the world's attention because it doesn't just involve the United States. Venezuela was the data center that the Dominion voting machines was tied into. They were controlling the machines, essentially, from Venezuela. That information was being uplinked to the Da Vinci satellite, which allegedly was being rented. The space on the Da Vinci satellite for the transmission of this data was being paid for by the Vatican. Think about that. The Vatican took a political position and was part of a coup against the United States of America. The servers were in Serbia, in a building that allegedly John Brennan, hello CIA, is half owner of, along with the most wealthy man in Serbia. And so now, how many other countries are involved in this? You've got Cuba involved. You got China involved. China did from fake ballots to everything that they fake driver's license to get fake to get illegal aliens registered to vote. There was, besides the fentanyl and the precursor drugs needed to make it, which was being manufactured in South America and some places even here in the United States. We didn't need South America. They were manufacturing fentanyl right here. Hmm. So, yeah, think about it. Why do we need South America? And so we're at war with China. We're at war with England, because England was behind the, quote, Russia hoax. England was implemented in that, MI5 and MI6. Yep. And they were involved with all these dirty politicians. So all of this is a coup against the United States, which could only have a military response. But you need the catalyst. You need the catalyst. And think about there's a classic one, and think about the Titanic. Oh, okay. When was everybody on the same page on that boat? You had people dancing, you had people partying, you had people in their staterooms. Everybody was on the same page doing the same thing when the boat was sinking, and they had no other choice but to get on a lifeboat, and there wasn't enough. But everybody was of one mind to get off that ship and get safe before it went under. Obama fled to England, from what I understand. That's going to make a difference. The United States can pick you up wherever you want.
I don't think he fled. I think that's a rumor.
Well, okay.
I think he's still here. And I think if he was going to flee, that they would stop him anyway. I don't think they're going to. If he tries to leave, I don't think they'd let him leave.
The low central casting, what can I say? That's a big part of it. And I'm sure there's a lot of central casting involved in this, because I have a strong suspicion that the people that we've seen body doubles for aren't around anymore.
Like who? Who is here?
Okay. How many Joe Bidens were there?
I don't know. At least two or three.
I'm thinking closer to six. Here's one for you. How many Donald Trumps are there?
I think two or three.
Yeah, I think it's three. There was Donald Trump that went to all of the court trials and hearings. There's the Donald Trump that we see most of the time, which is the same Donald Trump that went to the opening of the rededication of the church over in France that burned down. It just slipped my mind. We know it was not the real Donald Trump, because he said hello to Prince William, who's 6'3", and Trump is looking up at him. And where's Melania? I don't see Melania anywhere either. And then Trump met with the prince after the fact at wherever the prince was staying. And again, you got this short Trump next to 6'3", Prince William. But the one who's going to the trials had a slightly darker complexion. And then we may have the real Trump still alive somewhere. But Trump's a figurehead. Been put out there, and he's backed by the military.
I've been informed that
many Trumps they need. Yeah, sorry.
I've been informed that he's deep in the mountains in Montana,
That's what they say, Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado. Yeah.
I think that's it, yeah.
And Cheyenne Mountain is not that far away from whatever Air Force base is out there. I've actually literally driven by the Air Force base, and you can see Mount Cheyenne, at least the top of it, Yeah, is he in an underground bunker or is he someplace else? I've heard that anyway, regardless, he's safe. He's safe, or so they say. But here we are. Here we are with the biggest election fraud and coup of America to try to destroy the country and against Donald Trump. Now, why would there be this coup against Donald Trump? Wait a minute. He's a businessman. Is he stopping something? Is he stopping them from carrying out? Yeah. You see, and so here's where it gets biblical, and we're back in Revelation. Here's the eighth king. This is the eighth king, and we're starting to see this come to power. And all are going to submit before the eighth king. The eighth world power is probably starting right now. I mean, think
this is what Revelation what?
Revelation 17.
17 and what?
Yeah. Well, oops. Sorry about that.
I want to look it up.
Okay. Well, it's Revelation 17, and it's the latter part. I'll tell you what. Why don't we go over there? And I got it right here. And I'll pick out the verses, and I'm going to cherry pick these verses because they make the most sense. It sets up the power because it talks about the wild beast, but it's only around for an hour, and it comes to power and it goes off into the abyss in which it came out of. But these are the points that I want to make. It says that. It first talks about this beast that you saw, which was, but is not. Now, beast, a wild beast, a beast is a beast, part of a beast system. It's a governmental entity.
And, where is that? What verse is that?
Okay. This is 17, verse 8.
Verse 8. Okay, because I got it up. I got it up on the screen. Okay.
Okay, good. And it says, the wild beast that you saw was, but is not, and yet is about to ascend out of the abyss, and it is to go off into destruction. Now, wait a minute. It ascends out of the abyss and goes off into, you see, so we cancel out that part for now, because this eighth world power is only going to be around for a short amount of time. The seventh world power, which was the United States and England, was around for what, 300 years? 400 years, you know, basically from Queen Elizabeth on up. But it says, let's drop down. And it says, and the wild beast.
What verse are you at now? Dropping down.
I'm going to go to verse 11. Okay. No, actually, I should back up. Let me go right back to verse 8. It says that this wild beast will be present. Those who dwell on the earth will wonder admiringly. They're going to wonder admiringly of this wild beast. but their names have not been written upon the scroll of life from the founding of the earth. Verse 9, here is where intelligence that has wisdom comes in. The seven heads means seven mountains, seven kingdoms. It doesn't say kingdoms there, but a mountain would be a kingdom. You know, you think of a mountain. Well, where's Trump? Hello, Cheyenne Mountain. where the woman sits upon. This is talking about Babylon the Great. And the seven kings, five have fallen. One is, the other has not yet arrived. But when he does arrive, he must remain a short while. And the wild beast that was, but is not, it itself is also an eighth king, but it springs from the seven, and then it goes off into destruction. So, but let's just back up. The eighth king, the beast that was, but is not, the Trump administration that was, but is not, now comes to power as the eighth king. Interesting. The beast that was, hello, 2016. Not in 2020, but yes, back again in 2024. beast that was but is not is back as the eighth king. It springs from the seven, and it goes off into destruction, as it says. Now, it says also that the 10 horns that you saw mean 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they do receive authority as kings 1 hour with the wild beast. And so these have one thought, and so they give their power and authority to the wild beast. And these will battle with the lamb. That's going to come later. That's why they're not around very long. The Lamb being the King of Kings and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Most people know him as Jesus or Yeshua, the Messiah, the Second Coming, soon to get here. Perhaps. I'm the only one who says this. 2029, the 2000th anniversary of when Jesus started his ministry. 2033, the year that he gave up his life so that all of us could regain a state of perfection, and so that he would be able to become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so this is where the 1,000 years of peace comes in, after we get through the rest of this insanity that's going on right now. And it's going to get a little more crazy, folks. If we go down to now, here's the interesting thing. Okay, this eighth king, he says in verse 15, and he says to me, "The waters that you saw where the harlot is sitting mean peoples and crowds and nations and tongues, all plural, all around the planet." And the 10 horns that you saw and the wild beast, this eighth king, these will hate the harlot and will make her devastated and naked and will eat up her fleshy parts and completely burn her with fire. And I love this. Hello, Revelation QQ 17:17. Why do they do it? For God put it into their hearts to carry out his thought, even to carry out their one thought by giving their kingdom to the wild beast until the words of God will have been accomplished. This harlot that they're talking about is Babylon the Great. We might call it the Vatican.
Huh.
And all of its tentacles that go out around the planet. How does the what are the two biggest moneymakers on this planet? Drugs and human trafficking. Two biggest money makers. Human trafficking used to be number two. It's now number one. Think about that. And you know who's at the center of it? All roads still lead to Rome. They bought the satellite time. And you got to love the classic picture. Skull, if you can find this and put it up, great. It's Trump next to the Pope.
You can on that too. I had that, yeah. Yeah, the look on the Pope's face was like, oh, my God. I'll see if I can find it again.
Yeah, I looked at that picture, and it's like, Trump looks like the cat that just ate the canary. And you look at the Pope, and it was the Pope's canary that just got eaten.
Yep.
Yeah. A big old Cheshire cat grin on Trump. The Pope looked like he was in despair. What am I going to do next? Hey, let's overthrow the United States government. What are we going to do? And so, you know, shouldn't have done that, Pope. And so now there's going to be turmoil around the planet. And basically, you have to bring down the bankers. The ones who how does money from the drug cartels get to where it's got to go? You know, how does the poor person on the street who's become addicted to this point to where whatever nickels and dimes they can scrape together, they go to buy their next hit until they overdose? And so, you know, you have to have pity on those people, most of which are homeless. But obviously, the drug problem in this on this land goes way beyond the homeless, way beyond the homeless. And it's a big money-making operation. And the corruption goes right to the county level in almost every county across the United States. Think about the number of people that you're going to have to get a hold of. Most of them belong to one organization. It's a secret handshake organization. Because they are the marching soldiers for the banksters. Actually, it's all in the protocol, which I wrote in Letters to Earth and explained how all that happens 15 years ago. I gotta love it. I was dead on with everything that is in there is all coming to pass. We'll get that back in publication before too long. But anyway, it's all setting itself up. So we're going to have to see that military action take place. And the United States is going to have to enter a time period of national emergency, which would then put Trump would take off his presidential hat, officially put on his military hat, and now go make the arrests. Go make the arrests. They'll all become public. Goodbye, Tim Walz. Goodbye, Janet Mills. Goodbye, Susan Collins. Goodbye, all you other dirty senators. Goodbye, you guys who have dual citizenship and are in politics. Adios, Somali pirates. Goodbye, drug cartels.
I found a picture.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, people can look at that, and that sums it all up right there.
He is not happy. Not happy.
And it is traditional. If you look at Melania and was Ivanka, or not Ivanka, whoever's standing next to her, one of the Trump daughters.
Ivanka.
Yeah, they're in black.
Yeah.
Are they in mourning? Well, it's actually.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Yeah.
It's actually traditional for a married woman to, if they're going to meet the Pope, that they would wear black. Not sure why, but that's the tradition. I have a feeling that this is a dual signal. And the fact that Ivanka is there too, could it be death to the white Pope and the black Pope?
The look on Trump's face is
priceless. Priceless.
Oh, my God. Man.
Yeah. Wow. And you know, that we could talk about that whole situation there, but what we saw as Pope Francis after that was pretty much a body double. The black Pope, who's the head of the Jesuit order, they are essentially the military arm of the Vatican. Not the Knights, though. The Knights report directly to the Pope. Go look up Knights of Malta. See who made that list. The Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, was a Dame of Malta, which means she was a subject of the Pope. Dame is the same as a female equivalent of a knight. So she was subject to the Pope. Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr., Bill Clinton, George Bush Jr., were all Knights of Malta. Obama got a letter of recommendation from the Knights of Malta. He didn't make the cut. Sorry. No, not sorry. He's
dirtbag.
Yeah, well, Obama's manufactured by the CIA, it would appear. There's a long history there. So, and now, which now comes full circle almost the CIA was created by Nazi infiltrators who infiltrated Ukraine to fight against Russia. It was Nazis.
They have actual Nazis in Ukraine. Did you know that? I mean, with the swastika and the assassination of people in public, the whole nine, everything that the Nazis were doing, these people are doing.
Yes.
Same thing, the uniform, the whole nine yards.
Yes.
It's crazy.
I'm well aware of that. That's what that when I was over there for the Orange Revolution in 2004, it was largely peaceful. I mean, it was a life-changing event for me because I watched the whole process in first person, real time. I mean, I was there for a month. And and I got there just after the revolution started. So I was in a country that was undergoing a revolution for a month. It was mostly a peaceful revolution. I didn't see any violence of any sort. Saw the re-election of Yushchenko. And I was even in the crowd. I was 50 feet away from Yushchenko within the crowd of people. What I saw in the revolution in 2013 was death and destruction. The apartment that I had in Independence Square was burned out. All of Independence Square was burned out. People laying dead in the streets. And it was, and the people dead in the streets were caused by, allegedly, I saw the YouTube video of it. It was on YouTube for about a week, and then it disappeared. But there were, if you're in Independence Square, and you're looking across the square, if you're at McDonald's in Independence Square, believe it or not, there's a McDonald's right in Independence Square. It's the meeting place for everybody in Kiev. I'll meet you at the McDonald's, the one in Independence Square, the one in Krasatik, the one in Independence Square. Okay. So when you're looking across, there's a hotel which sits up on the hill on the opposite side of Independence Square. And where the people that were being shot were on the main street there, which was Krasatik. So about halfway between McDonald's and that hotel. And there were the people that were in, that were shooting from inside the room were a group of German mercenary soldiers that were, they weren't shooting out the window. The room was blacked out. The window was open and they were shooting from inside the room down to the crowd from at both sides. And so that's what turned it violent. That's what turned it violent. Both sides were being shot at, and they didn't know. They thought they were shooting at each other, which is crazy because a normal citizen can't have a firearm in Ukraine. And that was caused by the Nazis. And it continues to get carried on by the Nazis. Now, who funded the Nazis? Ruscello, I think you brought that. There's a coin that was minted in the 1939, 1940, somewhere around there in Germany. It's got a Schwarz sticker on one side. And I believe you posted it a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week. It's got the Star of David on the other side.
Yep.
NA, it stands for the National Workers, it would be National Arbeit. And the ZI is Zionist, N-A-Z-I. So who funded the war? As great-great-great-grandma Rothschild said, if my sons did not want war, war would not exist. There's a lot of money to be made in war. A lot of money to be made in war. And that's why all these economies are ready to fall apart, yet they want to continue to fund this insane war in Ukraine, fighting against a force that it can never win. And you want to be, you know, I love the people of Ukraine. They're great party hardy friendly people. And from what I know of this conflict, I have to take Russia's side. If I was going to take sides. No, just end this war. Because great people, people who you would enjoy their company, live there. And you know why these people were why I respect them so much? They knew how to party. They worked hard and they partied hard. Yeah, believe it or not, they worked hard and they partied hard. Whenever they could, they would. And you know why? Because every marching army in Asia and Europe has marched through Ukraine, killed the men, raped the women, and you've got the most fantastic genetic diversity there. And they're always coming in attack, under attack. And so it's, hey, eat, drink, and be merry. But tomorrow we may not live. Tomorrow we may die. That's a scripture, too. And so we have to get past just the physical pleasures of life. Because now, as I said, we are at a crossroads. And it's a cosmic crossroad that we're coming across. God, I wish we could go for 2 hours tonight because I'm on a roll here. It's amazing what happens. But we're at this crossroads now where we're going to start to see this unfold. And the people of the United States are so divided. And you've got 50,000 immigrants. I mean, sorry, 50 million immigrants. There are as many as 50 million immigrants here in the United States, some of which are truly infiltrators. They're armies which have been shipped in, Iranian armies, people from all parts of South America and China. Though it's believed that there could be as many as 100,000 Chinese nationals in here, which are part of the military, the Chinese military, the CCP. And so, yeah, you have to be very strategic in addressing all of this. But it will be addressed because the people that are funding this and that are behind this are going to be brought down. It's prophecy. Two places, and I've read this before, two places within Revelation. I like chapter 3, actually, the way that it's worded. And it ties right in here. Keep in mind, the number one and number two money maker on this planet is human trafficking, child trafficking, and drugs. And drugs. It says in chapter 3, verse 9, look, I will give those from the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and yet they are not but are lying, look, I will make them come and do obeisance before your feet and make them know that I have loved you. And that was Jesus' words to the congregation that he was writing, the congregation of Philadelphia. And so interesting that it's the congregation of Philadelphia because when the Pope came to America and told Americans what he wanted them to do in 2015 and gave his final speech at the UN, it was from Philadelphia that the Pope addressed the people. And this was all to roll out. This was his post-2015 agenda, which was supposed to take us to the 2030 agenda, which would have essentially put us all under their control permanently. We would have been a planet full of slaves, and then they would have called us out in order to reduce the planet's population down to 500 million, just like the Georgia Guidestones used to say.
Yep. Yep.
So is this a coherent explanation of the insanity that we're about to see? And how did Arthur C. Clarke know? Interesting. And so going back to chapter 17 in Revelation, God puts it into their hearts. Hey, when there was the assassination of Trump, it was the hand of God. And then he's quoted, I'll quote him as best I can. I feel like I'm on a mission from God after that assassination attempt. Why would you feel like you're on a mission from God? Did he put it into your heart? Oh, Revelation QQ. I love that. You can't make this stuff up, you know? To talk about the Matrix. All the timelines are all now coming down and being coming to a convergency. And then you're going to have a split. There'll be a split in the timeline. And what seems like a great thing now will not be such a great thing a few years from now. We're going to have this year, stock up and hold on. Stock up, make sure you got food, water, batteries, all those things, a to-go bag, a to-stay bag, a plan to get out of Dodge if you have to get out, a plan to stay there if you have to stay there and hunker down, shelter in place. What are you going to do? What are you going to take? How are you going to get to where you want to go? Do you have a place to go? I don't worry about that. When I saw the Pope standing in America's holy places at the end of the Tetra Blood Moons in 2015, to me, that was time to get out of Dodge. Just as it says in Matthew, the 24th chapter, I'm going to read that real quick. We still have a few minutes. But Jesus' disciples asked him, what would be the sign of your return and your presence? And Jesus answered them, and I've read a lot of these scriptures many times, but this is what did it for me. Verse 15 of chapter 24 of Matthew. Therefore, when you catch sight of the disgusting thing that causes desolation, as spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in a holy place, and interesting, in quotations, it reads, let the reader use discernment. Then let those in Judea begin fleeing to the mountains. Now, when this actually took place in the first century, in 67 CE, basically 34 years after Jesus died, the Roman armies came in, encircled Jerusalem, laid siege to the city, and they actually tunneled under the wall, the temple wall, and came up inside the most holy. So there's the disgusting thing that causes desolation, standing in a holy place where it ought not. However, I saw it a little different in 2000. Well, let me continue. For some reason, the Roman armies left, and those in Jerusalem could then flee to the mountains. Where were the mountains? Up in Turkey, Asia Minor, where the seven congregations are, you know, spoken of. They fled to the mountains. It was 3 years later when General Titus came back in, or launched his campaign, laid siege to the city again. Nobody went in or out. He caught him at Passover. The city was loaded with people. Food was probably gone within the first couple of weeks. No more food left in the city. Only those who were extremely well healed, who lived in the city, the wealthy, the rulers, probably had enough to survive for some time. And after the population was pretty much starved, the Romans broke through the city wall, killed everybody there. It was estimated to be over 2 million people in the city. They took 90,000 captives back to Rome, most likely the elite of the city. Everyone else was put to death. The historian Josephus said there was so much blood running through the streets, it was literally putting out fires.
Wow.
Yeah. And so here we are at the end of this. Hey, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate that. And thank you, Riscal, for you know, joining me tonight, especially the long day that it was. It sure made this program fly. Here we are already at the end. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We'll talk more about this. If you have any questions or comments, you can leave them in the comments section on YouTube or Rumble, or you can send me a question, one@peterkling.com, and I'll do my best to answer it for you. With that, hey, join the network, like the channel, and we'll be back next week for more fantastic conversation. We'll have to see what develops and how this all plays out, and then we'll get into finer details, perhaps. So with that, I'm going to say love and blessings to all. Thank you again, Riscala. Have a fantastic week, and we'll be back same time, same place next Thursday. Good night, folks.